Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Guys, we're here with the Hollywood Life podcast, and I am here with Ali Stagnita, who's got a really interesting background today.
Yes, I'm finishing up my Florida residency. I've been here for about 2.5 weeks. I've had some back-to-back bachelorette parties, so
That's so fun.
I've been living.
It's like the gift of the pandemic. The gift of the pandemic is that everyone can work remote.
Yep. I've been living in Florida at my parents' house. So I'm a Boca grandma, and then sometimes I'm a Miami bitch for these bachelorette parties. But yes, I'm sitting outside and it is lovely out. But I'm really excited to be here remotely. And we have a really fun guest today.
Yay.
Yes, we sure do. A friend of the show. We love having her on, and we are having her on. For a very specific reason, because she is a Bachelor Nation expert. And we're all going to talk everything about the Bachelor finale that has just happened. Mm-hmm. And we're going to tell you why she's an expert, or we'll ask her to tell you why she's an expert. So everybody welcome our friend, Arden Marine.
Hi, everybody. Hello.
I did it right. No, I did it right. Marine.
Yeah, you got it right. You stuck your landing. First of all, it's so good to see you guys. I was so excited that you asked me. I always enjoy coming on your podcast. And yes, I host a comedy podcast about The Bachelor called Will You Accept This Rose that I've done for, I think, 8 years.
And it is fantastic.
It's on iHeartRadio. It's super fun. We have stand-ups, comedians, people like Lance Bass. We have super fans. We don't trash the show at all. We don't ever read spoilers, but we make jokes along the way and we try to guess who's going to win, who's going to be the villain. Like, we treat it like a fantasy football league.
you really do have such an interesting crew covering this. And I love you on your Instagram. Everybody should follow Arden's Instagram. It's hilarious. But you post pictures of your Will You Accept This Rose crew. And it's like very unlikely people, but maybe not for fantasy football, but for going through The Bachelor.
It's fascinating. When I first started it, I had never watched The Bachelor before Caitlin Bristow's season. And I wasn't really interested. And then somebody talked me into watching it, and I was hooked immediately. And then when it came back for Ben Higgins' season, I realized I saw so many of my fun and funny friends were tweeting about it. And I was like, oh, I'll just do this for fun for a little bit, just so I have somebody to talk about it with. And then, 450 episodes later, including if we include the Patreon, we have 350 on the main feed. Lo and behold, who would have thought the Bachelor franchise I would make so many friends because of it. There's such a community, and you never know who's a Bachelor fan. You have people like Lance Bass, you have stand-up comedians like Jim Jeffries or Fortune Feimster. You don't know who's going to be just in on The Bachelor.
Right, and secretly.
I lured in this year, our rookies this year are Margaret and Joe from Real Housewives of New Jersey. I got to watch.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really fun. And what's fun about it is also the only point of entry in order to come sort of play with us is just to watch an episode or two, and that everybody's an expert, that you like, it's fun to get the point of view of somebody who's never watched before. We like there's different, anybody can come play as long as they come. They don't, we have a few rules, don't read spoilers. Don't sit there and be like, this is so fake. It's like, okay, well, we're all actually rooting for them to find love. And there has to be it has to work sometimes. So just come, don't be negative and come play with us.
I love like.
Well, and listen, one of the things that I loved about The Bachelor this year in the finale is that they truly did find love. And it's always such a disappointment.
Yes.
And when The Bachelor or The Bachelorette says, yeah, well, we're committed to dating.
No.
Getting right. to know each other better.
I mean, look, here's the name of the, unfortunately, I do want people to fall in love and get married. Like, I actually really am rooting for people to have the happily ever after, but like a lot of them don't work out from the main franchise. So just give us the thrill. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to, you can break up in like a week, you know? And this year I actually thought, even though it wasn't my favorite season ever, I felt like it really got fun the last few episodes, and I didn't realize how much I missed a classic ending, how much I missed whose ankles, what pair of heels are getting out of the limo first. We haven't had that in so many seasons where you're like, what dress is it? Whose shoes are it? Like, and sitting in the audience, the groan when they saw the yellow dress. I think people were, Gabby was so endearing, and she so yeah. wore her, the
it
heart,
was a great
like
dress.
It was, oh my God, dress. Great dress. And then her dress, her in studio dress.
Oh yeah.
Holy cow. That plunging sparkle yeah.
revenge dress for sure.
The Princess yeah. Diana revenge dress, yeah. which I've tried to find out who made online. And if anybody could tell, I couldn't figure out the brand yet. I was just like, that dress, whoever, like, there's no designer mentioned that I could find yet. My last name is Maureen, Myrin. Put it on my like comments or DM me. I want to know who made that dress. You can feel like because I don't read spoilers, I did not know how this was going to end. And that made it a fun ending. We got the proper two car pull up. We got the shoes out of the limo. And then we actually got a happily ever after because they do both live in Austin. I actually feel like they stand a chance. Like, it's not, they don't have to have upheaval in their lives. They could both keep living their lives and they're in the same city already. I was sitting near both families. They seem very excited to kind of like talk to each other. It seemed like good vibes between the families. So I thought it was sort of a fun ending.
Well, and also too, I think that like how I always felt like once they kind of got away from that, like final rose ceremony.
Yeah.
It was like, I just spent an entire season
That's right.
watching
That's
this. Right. Rooting
That's right.
people, and like, yeah. first of all, you're going to choose this one that we know that you're not with already or
yeah.
something, or that,
yeah.
that like, you have a little after thing where you find out they cheated or they this or
yeah.
they that, go back to the other. Like, it's definitely more rewarding as an audience member to like see them at least end up with somebody.
And well, I'm going to tell you, seem really in love, that they do seem someone, yeah. some very actually in love with.
I 100%. And I realized as soon as I was saying it out loud, I lied to you guys. I did watch like three seasons early on and the like very early. And the reason I stopped was I watched Andrew Firestone season. I think I watched somebody else. And then I watched Jen Scheff season.
Pardon?
And then Jen Scheff season, she at the end, I don't know if you remember, but she was like, I choose not to choose. And I was so angry that I had given like 40 hours of my life at minimum. And that I was like, I tapped out. I didn't watch it again until Caitlin season. Because so I agree with you. Like, again, like, these are real people's lives. I understand maybe you don't want to have like a failed engagement or whatever, but like, I don't know, like it does feel nice to actually feel like these people seem, they did look really happy in person.
They
I
did.
Will say
they really
yeah.
did. But it's like, you seem to feel that, come on guys, it's a TV show. Give us like a,
just give it to us.
Just pretend like,
yeah,
just go along with the myth, have fun with it for a while.
And there's been so many, you know, there's been so many things where it's been complicated. Like, we haven't yes. gotten, we've had, you know, the Ari and the Airbnb camera that was brutal. The Airbnb, like in live time, like with no edits, like chasing around that Airbnb loop with Becca. And like,
oh, that was, know, well, that was
brutal.
I mean, that was
unbelievable
television. And yeah, it was brutal.
We have the Colton,
but it was brutal. Now, wait a second. We should just pause for a second, because you've told our listeners and our viewers here that you've mentioned you were in the audience a couple
yes.
times. We have so many questions. Like, how did that happen? How did that happen? And what was it like actually to be in the audience watching the after the rose, the final rose?
Thank you so much for asking, Bonnie. I've never been, and I'd heard like from contestants and stuff. I always said, I want to go. And they're like, no, you don't want, it's really long. You don't want to go. I got to tell you, you want to go. It was, you could see me on TV at the end, at the very end, dancing around Jesse Palmer, so happy, like staring into camera dancing. Because I was trying to get Nate to come dance. They told, like, we were in the like VIP section, and they told us to come dance in the circle around Jesse, like the end of Saturday Night Live, like when they circle the host. Yeah. And so I'd been chatting with the Bachelor contestant, Nate, who like gave, you know, who was on the season last year with him, and he spoke out. And so I was trying, that's why I was like, I look like I'm literally staring right into camera, but I was trying to get Nate, but I look like a crazy dancing blonde lady.
I'm going to roll back to the final credits of the dancing.
I'm like literally like dancing like a psychopath, like so excited. So I made a lot of jokes on camera about how I was dying to go. And then I had a friend who like heard that and was like, I know somebody who works there. You know, I'll see if I can get you tickets. And so I wasn't sure until Friday before I got this email that had my confirmation, and I was leaving for a wedding. I went to a Tahoe like for a wedding last weekend. So I was so bummed because I've always joked that I wanted to wear like a jewel tone dress because everybody's in jewel tones in the audience. So like, but I was leaving. So I had to like just pull something from my closet because I didn't know I would have bought a jewel tone dress. Okay. I didn't know I was going.
Next time.
I got to go buy. I got to have one on standby for the rest of my life. But it was super fun. And it's not that long because it's live. So you're there, you know, they COVID tested us. Yeah, you have a hard out like at 11 p.m. Eastern time. So it was 5 to 8. I had to get there at 4 for COVID testing. You know, I brought a couple snacks in my pocket. And
it was always a good idea.
It was thrilling. I thought the set was beautiful. It was a really well-run show. Jesse Palmer was hotter in person.
Oh, but he was another disappointment because he was a bachelor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And where is he now? Nobody.
Yeah. Well, he's the host.
Yes, I know. But in love. Like, we want love. We want the happy ending.
We want the love. And so, it was really exciting to be there. And so then you watch it on the big screen and it is, you know, the screen is beautiful. The stage is beautiful. All those candles were real practical candles. It was real fire. It wasn't just like a turn on candle. Somebody had to go around and light all the candles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in person, I got to say, Gabby looked so stunning in person. It was crazy. Ariel looked like a goddess that had like a Greek goddess had landed. Like,
I loved her dress too.
Oh my God.
Revenge dress.
With the flowing neck train and like the Ariana Grande ponytail, mythological goddess just ascending to the heaven as she's done. It was really exciting. And because I think nobody knew how it was going to end. And you know, I think Gabby was so real and had such a difficult journey the last two episodes.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal.
It was brutal. It was brutal. And then it was brutal when he said he loved her. And then it was brutal when she was like, I knew I'm unlovable. Like, you could feel the audience wanting to wrap their arms, like just to like, be like, no, you are lovable. There was so much. I mean, I think there was goodwill towards obviously Katie and Zach, and they're happy for them. But the goodwill towards Gabby, you could feel. I think people were, after what happened last week and this week, I think people were really rooting for Gabby to win, to be honest.
Audience. I think that I was shocked, and as along with her, that she didn't realize that the whole scene of him talking about the sleeping with her and that she was going, that he was going to let the other two finalists know about it. Like that was all going to be public, and that she already felt like she was a scarlet woman.
I know.
And then the nation sees it. The Bachelor Nation sees it.
Look, as we learned from with Andy and Nick Vile, like, that like, and I think times have changed a little bit, but there still is the person who takes the brunt of the shaming, the sex shaming is the woman, you know, often like that. Yes. And that I think, you know, it's sort of assume like, that's why you just don't say, you don't, we kind of just assume things happen behind, but like,
yes,
that's why you don't actually articulate exactly what happened, you know? And when she said, which I felt was extra shocking, that he had come up to her, kissed her on the back of the head in the bathroom and said, this day's just between us that night. And then like told Jesse to, on camera, told, but basically told America, and then told, and then told Katie, just like, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yes. And I, that, that came, and how that came out in that mm-hmm. finale, and then her talking about it and yeah. so like vulnerably oh, about it and so heartfelt. I mean, yeah. I agree. You really felt for her and you really felt how wrong it was that yeah. Zach did it. Because basically, I mean, I've seen the contracts that they have to sign. Like yeah. there's no going back. They can't, Zach couldn't have said it and then said, listen, you just can't run that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. It's right. You're once you sign,
like think about done. The ramifications and how it would affect her.
No,
like yeah. I, he wasn't thinking about her, which
I still, know. I like, still he think he's, I don't, I still think he still isn't. I still, he thinks I had my word. Like, I think he still was very, I mean, if you see how quickly he eliminated all the villains, each, like there was not one lot. If you were a villain for a second, you were out. And I think he was so worried about public perception that because people can get mad at the, oftentimes the villains are kind of sexy. And so all the women in the house hate the villains, but they kind of like have the lead wrapped around their finger. Right. And then the public gets yeah. mad at the lead. So I think he was so worried about being a bad guy that like he backed himself into a corner, and it was not about Gabby's feelings. I think it was about how he came off, and she was just collateral damage. It was brutal.
Right. Well, and if I were her, I wouldn't want to be with him anyway after that. Like yes. somebody could do something like that.
Yeah.
And like, part of me was wondering, I mean, obviously her tears at after the final rose were oof. So real. And
yeah.
But I was trying to like discern whether that was a mix of like, I still have feelings for you and you hurt me so badly, or just like, I feel embarrassed and hurt in like the face of America. What probably, did you from like being there?
I mean, I would imagine, you know, she's a human being and
she's young
and she's like young. 25. And what I also like, for me, what made her such a compelling contestant, and I think like, you can tell that person was not there to become an influencer. That yeah. person truly feels like they came because they thought they might, this might be the person they want to marry. For sincerely, we have, and it, I don't think we've had a contestant that kind of like Instagram pure in a long time. And yeah. so this is not a person who seems like, I got hurt, but at least now I can go on Paradise or like right, right. quit my job and do self tanner boxes or whatever. Like, I think it's like, I thought I was going to marry you. You completely betrayed me. And now I've been shamed.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is like, I agree about her purity of motive, but I felt, you know, that with the issue that she brought up, about feeling like she's always second best.
Oh,
never anyone's first choice or any man's first choice.
Yeah.
That I'll never find the person who will truly love me. But that echoed so many over the years, so many of the contestants say yeah. that, and that they have, you know, such an insecurity, and they're these beautiful women who, yeah. you know, lovely personalities that you think like any man would be so lucky, or any person, let's not even get sexist here, any person would be lucky yeah. to have them as their partner.
I as you're saying that, I was trying to picture how it would feel though. Like imagine if you had this relationship that might, let's say it was your best relationship you ever had, you know, and you're going on these incredible dates and and the chemical, like you're isolated from your friends, your family, your phone, like in anything. And you have the chemical sensation. I believe that they fall in love, like whatever, like, you know,
they're who smitten, am I? You know?
Yeah. Like in a very large way.
Yeah.
And that is as intense, and for that to not be enough and for them to be like, I mean, I know for many years of my life, I was always like the quirky friend, you know what I mean? Like, and oftentimes, like I was like the fun one, you know, and like they like in like high school or college or whatever, like early 20s where, and guys would always sort of pick the sort of pretty, slightly bland one. Like they'd be like, oh, you're really fun. And maybe they would like smooch me or whatever. But it was like the one that like that they, there's certain people that just always got the person. Yeah. And it, and which doesn't, but like, and of course I took, you know, the narrative of like, well, like, I, you know, I think it's easy to sort of write a narrative in your head. And it, when you're actually are chosen second, I can see how it would reinforce any insecurities. I'm sure over time, you know, I found as I got older, I got more comfortable in my skin. I liked myself more. I did a little work under the hood of my own car myself. But like I can see how like that level of love is still not enough, that they still pick somebody else. I can see how that would feel. Like that.
I don't even know. Do you think, absolutely, do you guys think, I mean, I was, of course I'm watching what she went through and thinking, well, they have to make her the next bachelorette after Crystal. I don't know. Do you think she is too vulnerable? Like, would it be too much for her to have to handle that? Because like we've interviewed other bachelorettes and like, yeah, Rachel, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on her last
Rachel
name.
Lindsay.
Rachel Lindsay, you know, talk to us a lot about the pressure of having to kind of really think what the cameras are picking up and like it's, and of managing all these people. Like, it's not that easy to be the bachelor or the bachelorette. I don't know. Do you think she could handle it, Allie and Arden?
I mean, looking at, I do think it's like watching some of my, you know, I loved Gabby from last year, who was the bachelorette.
Yeah.
And like, I loved her. And I see how, I mean, she was in an unusual position because there was another bachelorette, but yeah, like, I can see how, I feel like the machine of it is hard on the lead.
Yes.
And I think in particular, I think it's a different thing for men and women. Like, it seems like a man, it's probably hard to stay grounded or humble when you have like it's hard not to kind of get high on yourself that you've got like 25 to 30 beautiful women that are just there for you. I think for women, and this is of course generalizing, so, you know, like take it or leave it if this resonates, but like, I feel like, I know I'm such a people pleaser and I would be worried about like hurting people's feelings, or I'm sure it would be hard to like trust your gut through that like just to know. It seems like a challenging thing to go through and maintain your like feeling okay within your skin. It feels like a hard role to play. Yeah. Allie, do you agree?
I do. I feel like, and this is going to sound bad, and again, like you said, like take it as you will, because I do. I love so many of the women who've been the bachelorette, and I think, yeah, like, they're all great people. But like, I almost feel like Gabby is like too good of a person to be the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like she's like, yeah, too, like I want her to go out with her friends in bars in New York City and have some, yeah, guy come up to her. And then they like fall in love and,
yeah,
buy a house in Westport, Connecticut and like live happily ever after. And like Seneca's pretzel. Like, you know, like she deserves.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, the I other agree. Thing that, yeah, the challenge is for, you know, I guess both sexes, but we really see it for the women, is the guys that are just there for fame,
that's
and
right,
that are pretending, because, oh, that's been a big issue in a couple seasons. And I worry about Gabby with her vulnerability being, you
that's
know,
a
falling
good point.
For one of those guys who it turns out he actually has a girlfriend and he just wanted this for fame.
That's a really good point. Like, I think, you know, talking to different contestants that have been on, a lot of times it feels like women have applied and oftentimes the guys got scouted. So they'll be like, you know, like in Nashville, they'll be like, yeah, some lady came up to me in a bar, like, you know, or like I've been on dates with guys that were like, oh yeah, I got scouted. They tried to get me, you know, like where they'll send people to like, bars in Nashville, bars in San Diego, bars in New York, where, you know, or they'll slide into DMs or like, so they'll get, so they're not necessarily pursuing it. And then maybe they're like, oh, this will be fun. Yeah, I could get fame. I quit my job. Mine's like, maybe I'll go to paradise, but it's not like they're like, oh, I want to get married. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, they're hot guys that got scouted.
Yeah. I do think that Gabby and Ariel could do well on paradise because a lot of those guys are like pre-vetted. Like, I think Gabby would do somewhere where like she.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Like, knows and has seen kind of where these guys are.
But they might have already still been there for the first time for fame. And then they know that, like.
Right. Well, that too. But then I feel like maybe she wouldn't like go there.
Well, okay, so I have a friend that asked me, because we all think Ariel's just like the coolest, foxiest contestant that ever was. And we just think she's so like, she's
college with her.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go to school?
UW. We were the same age. Like I went out, I would go out with her.
Was she cool?
Very cool. Like, so cool that you kind of thought she hated everybody.
Yeah, she seemed very poised.
Like, we weren't a little bit, like, she had
yeah, she's kind of reserved, a little reserved.
She really feels tall. She feels like a woman. You know what I mean? Like, she's younger than me, but she feels like she feels like such a put together adult. You know what I mean? Like, there's something so like a woman. So my friend was asking if I thought she was going to go to paradise or if she was going to pull like a Tyler Cameron and then just go like date like high echelon New Yorkers. I was like, she should do option B. She could go be Tyler Cameron in Manhattan.
Absolutely. Well, and she is like obviously born and raised in the city and kind of in that crew. So she'll like, yeah, I feel like.
Allie, is she tall? She looks really tall. Yeah.
With big boobs.
Huge boobs. Wow. The perfect boob. We were all like, look what Mother Nature can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
really.
Real.
And just like elegant and like, you know, why would she be on the show?
We were all really surprised. Like, we like group chatted, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, group in school. They were like, Ariel Frankel's going on The Bachelor. And I was like, what? And like, cause she also was like how I said, she was, it seemed like she was shy. Like, she didn't really talk that much. She went out a lot, but she wasn't like the loud friend, the one that you'd think would go on reality TV.
I wonder if she got scouted.
Yeah, but she got, to me, she was like that on the show. I always felt like she was kind of a little reserved, even when she was on her one-on-one dates.
Yeah. Well, I kind of think it's that Eastern European like thing too. Like, I think, like, you know, you're just like, kind of like from foreign parents, like you're just like, you kind of observe and then react, which is probably a good thing versus just reacting. And so I think that's what made her so likable and well-spoken too. Like when she said in After the Final Rose, how she felt like he took away her agency, like that everybody's talking about. Like,
yeah,
you've took away my agency.
And we agreed to be in an open relationship and you changed the parameters without telling me. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Smart and able to read a situation well and then react. And I think that like, that's why she's quote unquote quiet. Cause she's not like stupid a little bit. You know,
I agree.
She loved her.
But she's going to get, I mean, maybe she did. First of all, maybe she just thought it'd be an incredible experience.
Yeah.
You know, to go through this. And I think that there definitely are women and men who do it. Cause I mean, it's a pretty unique experience, but maybe she thought it would be a good career move.
I mean, I don't think you make it to the top three without actually being committed to finding love.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really think you make it that far.
I don't know.
I think some seasons I would agree with that.
There are exceptions.
Yeah, I think there's some people that are like, the farther you can get, the more followers you can get.
Yeah, that fake it to the end. I mean,
but I do. I feel like his batch of women was such a great batch of women. Like the final four were so lovely. Like I can't remember who was before that, so I'm not trashing anybody else. Like they were like Charity, Ariel, Gabby, and Katie were such a like. These are great. Any one of them is spectacular. So, you know, I just thought Ariel was such a great character, and she would have been a great bachelorette to me. I would have loved to watch that.
Well, yeah, but she, you never know. She said she won't. You never know down the line. But let's go. I think we need to talk. Get back to our couple, like the the finale couple that are our engaged couple.
I do think that all these women were like too good for him.
Oh, agree.
Like agreed. Even the one he ended up with, I think they were all too good for him. I'm just putting that out there. But yes, to the
agreed. Agreed.
Well, it kind of feels that way a lot on this show, but they do seem genuinely in love and happy and committed and less like we've seen. I mean, first of all, I did love Katie, and I loved her even more on the After the Rose because it seemed like she just relaxed more. She was so relaxed.
Yeah.
You're looking a little dismissive.
Me?
Not feeling it. You're not feeling Katie.
You know what? I felt like she shamed Gabby at the rose ceremony when she was like, I know it was you. Like, I didn't like that comment after the fantasy suites thing. And then when Gabby said, I feel like I have the scarlet letter, I really liked her and that. And I know people are saying maybe it was edited one way. Maybe to me, it felt like, why point that? Like, why? I felt like there was no reason to say that to her. And it felt a little unkind, like that it clearly rattled Gabby, like that. Like, why point out that, you know, she had sex? Like, I didn't like that. So that's when I got a little bit like very much team Gabby.
But listen, that could have been like her incredible insecurity at that time.
I'm sure.
But she didn't know who was going to be chosen. So
I know. I just still felt like if that's your friend, like all it did was seem to like, it just felt like slightly, why say that under your breath? Like it felt slightly shaming to me. And I'm just like, I know that the edit thing, who knows? I know these are very savvy editors, and that means I'm very easily led as a viewer but that's when I just felt like, oh, that had a little bite. Like, and again, I'm rooting for them. I'm happy for them. It, to me, I guess it feels like maybe as the person that was quirkier growing up, like it feels like the safer choice. So I think I maybe have been rooting for like in some ways it feels like quirky doesn't usually win, and it didn't again. And I think maybe that's why I was like, okay, well, like this feels predictable, and I'm happy for them, and I think they'll be happy. But I felt like Gabby was like kind of a quirky choice.
Do you think that, I know this is terrible, like he didn't know he wasn't going to choose Gabby, but just wanted to like sleep with her one time type thing. Like, I'm sure.
I wonder about that too. Like when he said, well, I didn't really know until the last supper or the dinner date. Like, really? Like you were so incredibly sure by the end that you talked to her at the proposal that you're the one I want to spend my life with. You didn't make that decision to like a night before or two nights before.
And then why tell her you love her? He told her he loved her after they slept together. And then he said he was falling in love with her again. He reiterated it on the beach. He said, these are feelings of love. So why say that to her? I think I felt so protective of her that what you're saying is not so much about Katie and more about my own. Like, it was so brutal to watch what happened to Gabby the last two episodes. I think that's what you're seeing in me. And I actually think Katie is lovely and a perfect choice for him. It just feels so predictable, but she's lovely. So I think they'll be very happy. I actually think they have a good chance of making it. I think that they seem like they fit together. So I do wish them nothing but the best. The person that watches me, it like a fantasy football league, it would have been so thrilling if a Gabby had won.
Yeah.
To me.
Now, looking ahead to Charity.
Yes.
what are your thoughts on that choice as the next Bachelorette? I know you mentioned before you love her.
I think she's adorable. I think she will. I'm glad they picked her. I mean, I think she or Ariel would have been great. I think both of them were good choices. I don't know who else it would have been. I think Charity's a great choice. I think she's charming and likable. I hope they get good guys for her. Family was adorable.
I hope they get good guys. And she's got her undercover brother.
I think she's sweet as can be, and I'm glad they picked her.
Yeah, I'm so glad that the seasons are closer now. I hated when there was such a long wait between them. Yeah. And it must be, yes, good for your podcast too.
Yeah.
But I want to say one other, I've got to say something else though about Katie.
Please.
And about Zach. First of all, she's from Toronto and I'm from Toronto.
Okay.
So
I do love a Canadian. I love a Canadian.
Yes. They, you know, they've had a few Canadians over the years and they've made it to the finales. But, you know, and I looked back, it was really funny because I looked through her Instagram. She went to Queen's University, which is a really well-known university there. And my niece goes there. And she's just, it was so funny to see her wearing like all the t-shirts and sweatshirts from all kind of local places that I
Yes.
know. But then I look back at Zach and did you see his Instagram and scroll back?
Uh-uh.
He was so different. Like when he's in high school, he's really like a dork. Like it's been a complete transformation.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
I feel like his personality is still slightly dorky. And then like, when you see him dancing and stuff, like he's got kind of dad vibes energy, but at like 26, he feels like your stepdad that's coming to your college to take you and your friends out to like for a free meal at like the Cheesecake Factory. Like, he's like, oh, you know, Carl, you know, like, yeah, Carl's married to my mom. He's a good guy. Like the fact that he's 26 is bananas. He does have like former dork energy. And like, I totally believe that.
Well, I think you have to take a look at his Instagram.
Okay, for sure. I mean, the fact that he narked on himself in high school says it all.
Yeah, like you would not recognize him if you didn't know. You're going,
Can't wait. I'm going to do that as soon as we get off.
Okay. You can talk about it on your next podcast.
No, Katie, I thought from the very first date in the museum, like they were, she's warm. She's lovely. I also don't think she was there for Instagram followers. Like, I think she's like a lovely, warm. I really believe she just wants to get married. She wants a good man. Like I actually think they will be a happy couple. Like if they can survive fame, I think they will be I actually think they're a nice match and like probably an easier fit than with Gabby long-term. Like I think like their temperaments and I actually think they will be I think she's a good choice for him. So that, again, it was just the side of me that was rooting for the quirky gal.
Of course.
She is an ER nurse. So it's hard to, I mean, that's a pretty serious job.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's warm, lovely, affectionate, beautiful, maternal, loyal.
Okay, you don't have to say all these nice things just.
But she is. No, it's true. Like I don't have anything this bad to say again. It is nothing against her. I did, except for that one comment, which could have been editing, but like she's gracious and beautiful and lovely and cool. I just was so protective of Gabby in the last two episodes.
I'm really excited to see what Gabby does next. I feel like she's going to blossom like a phoenix.
Yeah.
And I mean, we have seen if she decides to go Bachelor in Paradise, if she goes to Paradise, we have seen women that just went through so much heartbreak.
Yeah.
On The Bachelor, really find love there.
Oh, she could be like a Raven and Adam situation.
Yeah.
Totally.
Right? Oh. She's like a raven. She's as lovable. Raven was so lovable. She's a Raven and Adam.
Absolutely.
She could go get her Adam. Adam's a great guy.
Yeah. Cool. Now, I do. Allie and I have discussed this before. Does it really, it bothers us though, and I wonder how you and your podcast cohorts feel, that they, so few of the, like the leads ask questions on camera about like values in life and goals and how you raise kids and careers and how to make that work. like they just always talk about their feelings and their connection to each other. And you're like, well, what is drawing you two together? Like, well, you can't 100, talk about that for
100%.
Life.
And I think that's why I got very upset at Zach, and we all did, when Greer was talking about Q4 goals. And like, it's the first time we heard somebody say the phrase, I have certain goals. I have goals. I have certain points I have to meet. It's important to me. I do Q4. And his shaming of her for like, you know, that's, we haven't really heard people talk much about what, when, like their careers or like what real they do. Life. Yeah. And like the fact that her wrist got slapped for saying that, when she was just trying to, like, it was important to her, and it was, you know, an end of the year deadline, and how shaming he, how that got shut down so fast. Yeah. It's wild to me that you can pick a spouse and, you know, like, what do you like to do for fun? What's your, like, what are your friends like? Do you have hobbies? Like, you know, like, what do you do if you're like something bad? Like, how do you recalibrate if you have a setback? Like, what's your mental health like? Like, you know, what do you do for, like, no, there's none of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we like Allie and I, when we interviewed Rachel Lindsay, like, we really liked that she did bring up serious subjects as a bachelorette,
yes,
in her conversations, and wanted to make sure they're on the same page, because I mean, you have to, you can't end up marrying somebody who is, believes in, you know, women should only do this or that, and you don't agree, or you have different politics completely. I mean,
I know
today.
Yeah, Jim Jeffries, who's on my podcast, always is like, nobody's like, who'd you vote for? Yeah. Like, nobody, there's nothing. Did you vote? Like, you know, like there's just nothing. There's none of that. It's, I mean, it also seems like, just talking to people who've been through it, while there's been more successful relationships from Paradise, where you're actually getting engaged to somebody that maybe you've spent 30 hours with, you know, versus Paradise, you get to have like a month or something, you know, like that. You don't get that extended time because it's like dates here, that, but like, there's not that many hours total that you've been with somebody before you have to propose, you know, that's kind of like, and that's hard. I think they're going to make it. I believe they're going to get married, and I think they're going to be happy. I think they're going to be a win for The Bachelor.
What about you, Allie? What's your vote?
I think that they will too. I think how Arden said, like, their temperaments are similar. They're just like, I think that what they're going to be like is one of those couples that like leaves the spotlight pretty
quick. The fact that they're staying in Austin and they're not like, we're moving to
Nashville or LA.
Yeah. Like the fact that they're, in theory for now, staying in Austin, if they stay in Austin and keep their jobs,
yep,
and then do some fun extra bonus, you know, it would get some free trips going to Sandals or whatever, like that, like if they can do some fun sponsored content online, but keep their jobs,
yeah,
I think they stand a chance of making it.
Agreed. And I kind of think Katie's so level-headed in that she wants that for
me too. She was lovely. I mean, her family seemed lovely. She's adorable. She's so sweet. I hope they make it. Like, I really do. I hope, you know, as much as I think, again, the audience was rooting for Gabby, I think everybody was happy that we got a couple. Like, I think ultimately it was a happy ending because that we got a couple that's actually going to like find, it's been a while. The irony is that Ari's actually like, he and his bride actually seem very happy. Like after the nightmare of how it went down, they seem really happy together.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and the thing is, I'll just bring this up because Arden, you wrote this incredible book. Tell our audience name of your book.
It's called Little Miss Little Compton. And yes, it's a memoir. My parents were not dating. They were co-workers in New York City. In order to get extra vacation time, they married on a dare, and they stayed married the rest of their lives.
I love that.
So you are the perfect person to be obsessed.
Yeah.
people who, yeah, in the oddest ways. Like, weren't they just, they were out co-workers?
They were co-workers. They, you know, one night they, everybody got 2 weeks vacation time, but if you went on a honeymoon, you got an extra 2 weeks. And then they figured out the, like, oh, we can beat the man. So they were having cocktails, and my dad was like, dared my mom. He's like, let's get married. I'll take you down to like South America for a month. We'll have a fun honeymoon. We'll come back and get it annulled. And then the next day my mom called him, they agreed. And then the next day my mom called back and she's like, I'll do it, but I don't want to get it annulled. And my grandparents, wow, never knew. They met him as his, her fiance. They got married 6 weeks later, and she borrowed her best friend Arden, her wedding dress, and off you go.
Yeah, so they married after 6 weeks and they, yeah, went on the honeymoon. But
yeah,
I would just always want to still know, like, why she barely knew this guy, yeah, your dad, why, yeah, she decided, I don't want to just get an adult, and why he still did it.
You know, I think they were attracted to each other and they must've been flirting.
Yeah.
I think he was sort of fun. Like, he was kind of like the bad boy, like a little wild and fun. She'd had her heart broken by like a nice guy in college that she was with for like 4 years. And she thought she was going to marry him. She was a year older than him. And he ended up, in the year that she graduated, he met somebody at college. Ugh. And I think for her, and you know, back in the day, I think she thought she was going to be, quote, an old maid at like 24.
Yeah.
And I think there was a little bit of like the revenge dress of like, okay, I'm fine. I'm like, okay, ex so-and-so who broke my heart. Guess what? I'm marrying this sort of fun, flashy guy while you live in upstate New York. I'm marrying this fun, flashy guy and we're going on a fun honeymoon. And like, I got married too. I think there was a little bit of that.
Like, and X years and how many kids later?
Yeah. That, I mean, like, you know, 50 years, two kids, like, you know, like, I mean, they were definitely a quirky duo, but like, but they had a good time. Like, they had fun, you know, like, you know, who, you never know. It's sort of a leap of faith at any moment in time. So it's sort of a wish and a prayer, a leap and a jump, and like, you know, see what happens.
You, well, have if, that story.
It looks like on your Instagram, you've got a new romantic interest.
I sure do. I have a new guy. It's almost 9 months now. I met him in real life, not on the apps.
IRL.
And yeah, it's been fun. He's fun. He lives in New York. So, but he's here right now. He's in LA, and we've been having a really good time. He's great.
Real doctor?
He's not a real doctor. We call him, he's not a real doctor. He, his name is Sanyam Sharma. But one time he was calling, his bank, and like, he was like, there's something wrong with his credit card. And he was like, and he made them write down his name, blah, blah, blah. I was like, can you just read it back? Cause he was trying to get, he lost his wallet. And he was like making sure they hadn't mailed him the card yet. So then I heard on speaker, the lady say, he's like, can you read it back to me? And so she called him Sham Wham Shamawa. Sham Wham Shamawa. So we call him Dr. Sham Wham Shamawa because it's the greatest name that's ever happened.
That's amazing.
Dr. Sham Wham, Sham Wham Shamawa. So yeah, Dr. Sham Wham Shamawa is just, you know, we laugh a lot and it's been really good. Yeah. He wasn't even a cat guy. And now he's inside playing with mittens and meow. So there you go.
Well, listen, if you have, you know, any news to share about that, make sure that you share, let us know.
And
we,
yes, honey, I'll keep podcast. You posted.
If there's any rose that will be accepted,
I'll bring Dr. Shamwham on and we can make our announcement.
Absolutely.
With you guys.
Yes. I would need him.
Yes. I know.
Yeah, mittens and meow.
Ben's meow, Shamwham, and I could come make a big announcement.
And anything else you want us to know that you're working on right now?
I'll be on the next season of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is the final season. Well, it starts so that starts
that show
in April. And then two things. I have a a live show that I'll be doing my podcast. Will you accept this rose? I'll be doing a live show at the Bell House in Brooklyn, Saturday, April 15th at 7 p.m. with Margaret and Joe from Real Housewives of New Jersey, Michelle Collins, the comedians flying in from Europe to do it. Brian Safi from Attitudes Podcast is doing it. We have all sorts of great people. And then I'm starting a brand new podcast with Brian on iHeart called No Autographs, Please. That starts this Friday. It's an improv podcast. It's super fun. We have guests like Lauren Lapkus, Paul F. Tompkins, Drew Drogi. It's a blast. And that will be, the first episode is up on Friday.
Fantastic. Oh, we're so excited for you.
Thanks.
Thanks. Trying to get out of that Brooklyn show. That sounds so fun.
You should come. I'm gonna try to sneak into Ariel's DMs and I'm gonna wait till midweek next week because I figured this week is bananas, but I'm gonna try to get her to come to the show.
Definitely.
Yes. Definitely. Well, yeah, Allie and I would be interested.
Would you guys like to come? I would love
the audience. Like you did.
No, come. It's so fun. It's so fun. It's so silly. I will have everybody get you the details and I'll put you guys on the list. We would love to have you.
Excellent. Well, listen, it was wonderful to have you join us for this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Finale breakdown. And couldn't have had a better person. And we have to do this again. And so
likewise.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Arden.
Arden.
Bye guys. Thanks for having me. Bye guys. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.